Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 22, and we'll begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read through the section on Abraham up through verse 19. It's found on page 31 if you're using a Pew Bible, page 31. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey, and he took with him his two servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offerings, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. He himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went together, Isaac spoke and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there, and he arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac, and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. See, now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba, and Abraham stayed in Beersheba. So in our previous chapter, we looked and we saw there was the birth of Isaac, right? Isaac, the promised son. And we have seen Isaac, that promise that God would provide a seed and that it would be Isaac that would be the son. It wasn't going to be Ishmael. Abraham had many times taken things into his own hands and tried to help God out. And we know what happens, don't we, when we try to help God out. It doesn't work out too well. In our last week, we looked at the section of the Treaty of Beersheba, and we saw how there was a promise. There were two parts of the promise that God had made to Abraham. Was first of all, he would have descendants. His descendants would be as many as the sands on the seashore. They would come through Isaac, and we saw how that was threatened by Abimelech when Abimelech had taken Sarah to be his wife, and then last week we saw again how the part of the promise where Isaac or where Abraham was promised a land that was threatened by Abimelech as well, and that was God took care of that in this treaty that he and that Abraham and Abimelech had. And so we have that, and now in this beginning of this chapter, Genesis 22, we have God telling Abraham to sacrifice his son. And doesn't that seem like a contradiction? Here this son, who was the son of the promise, who God said, I will, you know, it is through Isaac that your descendants will come. It is through Isaac that you'll be blessed. Here God is saying, I want you to slay him. I want you to kill him. And doesn't that seem like a contradiction? And it also seems, you know, interesting here as we read that sometime later, God tested Abraham. That, I think, is something that we're uncomfortable with, isn't it? That God tests us. He tested Abraham here. We're told it right here in the passage that God tested him. What do you think was the purpose of this test? It was a test, right? What was the purpose of the test? What was God doing here with this test? Anyone have any thoughts on that? Are you going to get an A, a B, or C, a D? Or are you going to fail? I think it's a pass-fail test. Testing his loyalty. Okay, how is Abraham going to be loyal to God? Okay, sorry. Obedience. Is Abraham going to obey God? We saw how many times Abraham didn't obey God, didn't we? Abraham, we see, don't we, his failings, right? The very first thing that Abraham does after he's promised a land is he goes down to Egypt, right? He goes down to Egypt. We see that as the very first thing. So is Abraham going to obey God? Okay.
From his walk with God, because you see the angels, Lord speaking to him in regards to Lot, how much he kept, giving him. Okay, yes, he answered his questions, and he showed him himself. I think that let's see how much you've actually learned, and how much do you really trust him.
Okay, all right. So how much did he actually learn? How much does he trust the Lord? Tests can be a gauge of our progress, can't they? Right. When we take tests in school, right, they gauge, how far have you progressed? Do you understand this material yet? Okay. Yeah.
Abraham so often before doubted because he didn't see evidence. And what came to mind was the Hebrew scripture that faith is the evidence of things not seen. So even if God took Isaac, was he still going to believe God? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So that's what I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah. No. Is Abraham going to believe God? Essentially, and I think God does test our faith. Understand that. You trials oftentimes are, given to us. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust my promises? I promised this. Are you going to trust it? And I think that's sometimes, something we think, we become Christians and everything should be great. You know, I should never have any troubles. But we do. We do have troubles. And a lot of times those troubles are sent to us by God, right? God knows those troubles. And he wants us, he wants to know that we're going to trust him and have faith in him. And, do we know here whether, whether Abraham, what was Abraham thinking? Are we told anything here as far as what Abraham was thinking? Was he thinking, God, you're nuts? You're crazy? Like, what are you doing? I mean, we know he obeyed God. Come on, somebody say it.
Well, to me, it seemed that when I was reading it that he just went, here I am. And okay. And the next morning he got up and he got the wood and he just went. Mm-hmm. That doesn't say there's any hesitation on Abraham's part.
I'm sure it was. As a father, human, I'm imagining he did, but I can only use my imagination. I didn't read it unless I missed something.
Okay. Anyone else see something there? Do we know what? What was he thinking when God said to him, "I want to sacrifice your son"? We know he did it, but what was he thinking when he did it?
That God was going to supply him. I don't know.
That's go ahead.
Along with this, I just said, is that down in verse 5, it's only servant, stay here. We won't go to worship. And he said, we are going to come back.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We know that. We are going to come back, and either he was lying to his servant or he really believed that they were going to come back. And, I don't think we have any evidence that he was lying to his servant there at that point. Yeah.
In Hebrews.
Go ahead. You got it. Okay, so we're given an insight there, and let me just read that here, so that Jason can hear. And I'll just start in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned. Here we're given an insight into Abraham, right? Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead, right? It's right there. Abraham believed that God could raise the dead. God told him to sacrifice Isaac. God also told him that through Isaac, your offspring will be reckoned. No problem for Abraham at this point, right? Even he believed that God could raise the dead. Yeah.
Yeah, and the beauty of it is that he didn't think his God to be a confused, misunderstood person, being or a God that was confused. He's like, "What? Wait, you just said this. What are you talking about?" He
right.
didn't think like that. He just had faith.
Right. And this is one of the great moments, moments where Abraham passes the test. I mean, he has faith, and we've seen so many other times when Abraham did not, right? He tried to help God out, with Hagar, right? Wasn't that the problem? He was trying to help God out. God, it doesn't make sense that Sarah's going to have a son, so I'm going to take Hagar, because that doesn't make any sense. I mean, how could Sarah have a son? She's past the age of childbearing. She can't, that's impossible, right? But here we have, he trusts God, right? We have one of the great moments of faith in his life. And you know, I think just getting back to a little bit of personal application in this, right? Testing, trials, they come to us. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust my promises that I am who I say I am, and that I'm going to keep my promises? Or are you going to try and help God out? And I think just think about that in your own life, you know, and just in terms of, you know, and you can see that, you know, perhaps in past, you know, trials that you've had in your life. So Abraham gets up, and he loads up. The next morning he gets up and he saddles his donkey, and he takes with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And we don't know how old Isaac is at this point. I think, you know, we had in the previous chapter Isaac was born, right? But just to note here, it does say the very beginning of this, it does say sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, you know, I want you to go. Now, let me ask you this. Was this the first time that Abraham had worshipped God in this manner? If so, how do we, or if not, how do we know? Right. What is Isaac? Right. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac says, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? This was not a first-time thing for Isaac. Isaac knew what was involved with this. Isaac, you know, he had been born, he had been circumcised, but, you know, Abraham appears to have been teaching Isaac about the living God. Not appears, he was. You know, he was teaching God about the living God.
Isaac couldn't have been too little because he was carrying all the wood.
Okay. He was carrying the wood. And I think there's a
3 days' journey.
And we'll get into that in a minute. There's a specific reason why I think that's noted here. But, yeah. So, you know, what does that say to us? You know, just as far as, you know, family devotions, as far as teaching our children the ways of the Lord, as far as teaching our children how to worship the Lord. Right? Isaac knew. And he knew because he had been taught by his father. I think it's a pretty important thing, isn't it, that he had been taught by his father. Just a great illustration of this. There was one of the space shuttles, I think it was, which one was the last one that blew up? The Challenger, I think it was a space shuttle Challenger. I think that was the one that piece of foam hit the wing and so they had been up in space for 17 days, and one of the astronauts on that shuttle, before he left, had taken a video of himself having devotions, reading through the Bible, having devotions with his children. For the time that he was going to be in space. And they were to listen to this video. They were to look at this every day. He never came back. The lasting memory that those children will have of him was him having devotions with them. Him teaching them God's word. This is one of the most important things that parents can do with their children. teach them in the way of the Lord. He never came back. They will remember that. Isaac knew how to worship the Lord. So let's ask the question then, how do we see Christ in this? I think there's a lot of similarities here, a lot of ways that we can see Christ in this passage. I think that's something we should always ask ourselves whenever we read a passage, from any part of the Bible, because the Bible is the story of redemption, right? It's the story of Christ, and I think it's very clear here. Perhaps you can see some of the things here, but let's just ask that question. I'll put that out there. How do we see Christ in this passage?
That starts by saying, take your son, your only son, Isaac, which is God sent his only son.
Okay. Take your son, your only son, Isaac. Sound familiar? Does that sound like something? That sounds like it's something out of the New Testament, doesn't it? My son, my only son. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. At his baptism, the Spirit comes down and says that. This is my son, my only son. With him I am well pleased. What else? Okay. God gave his only begotten son. All right. Okay. Okay.
The only sacrifice that God requires.
Okay.
God took the place and the time.
But Isaac wasn't sacrificed.
No, but it's a...
Well, so how can you say that?
Well, how does it represent Christ?
What's that?
How does it represent Christ?
Yeah.
That was your question. So
yeah.
My answer is that it represented God showed with Abraham, my son is the sacrifice. I give you the ram we have here. So that was the sacrifice that God provided.
Okay. All right, so God provides a sacrifice. What was the sacrifice in this case?
The ram.
The ram, right? Abraham is told by the angel, don't kill your son, right? And he finds a ram in the thicket. And that ram is a what? A substitution, right? And when we look at the Old Testament, the sacrifices that were, that they gave, they were just pointing forward to the sacrifice of God's only Son, right? And so we see that the Levites, when the priests would perform that sacrifice, there would be the lamb, but that was just pointing forward to Christ. There's another, I think, way that you can see this too in the sacrifices that they had was what they called the scapegoat, right? We have that word today, the scapegoat, and that's a biblical word, right? They took they took two goats, and one of them they would let go. They would send them out into the wilderness, and then the other one they would sacrifice. And so we have here a scapegoat, right? We have here a lamb that is, Isaac escapes God's, the sacrifice, and this lamb is the substitution instead. You know, we have in Scripture, don't we have, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. It was necessary that blood be shed. And it is, you know, not the, blood of it's the blood of Jesus that's shed, you know, to save us from our sin. Okay, what other ways? There's more here. How is this point to Christ? How do we see Christ in this passage? Okay, that was a good one. I didn't see that until this morning.